أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين وشهداء على خلقه وأعلاما لعباده ومنارا في بلاده وأدلاء على صراطه. Okay, last week we came to explain this expression shuhada'a ala khalqih. You are witnesses over his creatures. This particular concept of shuhada' is mentioned very much in the Quran and is one of those very difficult concepts to explain and to understand. What's the meaning of some people being witness over other people? Now here we are saying that you are witnesses over his creatures, witnesses of God over his creatures. There are some suggestions about the meaning of this concept of shuhada. Shuhada is the plural of shaheed, and shaheed means witness. It has the same meaning of shahid. Of course, we use shaheed as martyr, but it is not used in the Quran in this sense. It is used in our riwayat, but in the Quran, shaheed is shahid. And as the Prophet himself is shahid and shaheed, we have both expressions used in the Quran about the Prophet. Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadira. This is in Surah Ahzab, O Prophet. We have sent you as a shahid, as a witness, and as someone who gives good news and woes, مُبَشَّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. And also in Surah Nisa we have that وَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. On the day when we bring forth one witness from every nation and bring you forth as witness over these group of witnesses. So shaheed and shahid both are used for the Prophet in the Quran. And now, well, since we regard A'imma alayhi wasalam to be the inheritors of whatever Prophet had in terms of position and knowledge, we regard them as well to be shuhada, to be witnesses over his creatures. Now, what is the meaning of witness? One meaning which would come to mind is that they witness to the truth, and that is why on the day of judgment as well they are witnesses. Because for example, we don't know whether something is right or wrong, we go to them, they witness that this is right or this is wrong, and these are the shuhada. And in fact, not only by their word but by their actions they would witness. Whatever they do is a witness for us to the truth. And whatever they refrain from is a witness for us that we should not commit those things, we should keep away from those things. And in this meaning, shaheed means an exemplar. Someone who should be followed, someone who is the epitome of all good things that God wants us to follow, and would tell us what things we should not follow actually. So I think many exegetes have taken this concept of shaheed in the Quran, because it's very difficult to explain what's the meaning of to be witness over the creatures. Many have taken it in this way, especially in this very famous verse, وَكَذَلِكَ in Surah Ali Imran, if I'm not wrong. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. In this way we have made you a middle ummah so that you are witnesses over the people and the Prophet is witness over you. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Now usually the exegetes say that the Muslim Ummah is a middle Ummah. They are witness over others, and the Prophet is witness over them. And in this sense, they actually take, maybe even inadvertently, the meaning of Shaheed, the concept of Shaheed, to be an exemplary nation, an exemplary person, the Prophet, and Ummah of Islam. Of course, especially with this verse, it's very difficult, because Ummah of Islam is an Ummah which contains good and evil. It has Husayn ibn Ali and Yazid ibn Muawiyah, both of them are included in the Ummah of Islam. We have Banu Umayyah, and we have the Prophet's ruling, for example. We cannot say that Ummah of Islam, especially if we look into the past history of Ummah of Islam, we cannot say really that they are exemplar for other people. Especially if you go to Nahjul Balagha, even to the Quran, you would see that Quran is not very much satisfied about the way Muslim Ummah behaved, even during the lifetime of the Prophet. And if you look into Nahjul Balagha, Amirul Mu'mineen says, you are completely back to the days of Jahiliyyah. This is not the Islam that the Prophet was preaching, it's only a name, it's not the reality. So, how can we say that Ummah of Islam is an exemplary Ummah? Not the Quran, not the concept, not the book, the Ummah as a number of people. How can we say that they are exemplary? So, we come to difficulty, and there are difficulties here. And especially, that concept of witnessing for the people to the truth, that what is right and what is wrong, this could be a meaning of Shaheed. However, the type of expression which is used, shuhada'a ala khalqihi, witnesses over the people, not shuhada'a li khalqihi, witnessing for the people. Now, if they witness to the truth, to the right and wrong, in fact they witness for the people, they are shuhada'a li khalqihi. But witnessing over the people, it means that they are now observing how the people are behaving, and then one day they would produce witness, they would bear witness that what people did. So there is a difference saying shuhada'a li khalqihi or shuhada'a ala khalqihi. And in that first meaning, it is shuhada'a li khalqihi, and it's not used in the Quran at all. لَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ لَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ, so that you are witnesses عَلَى النَّاسِ, over the people, not لِلنَّاسِ. وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِدًا, so that the Prophet is witness over you, not for you. So the problem persists with the meaning of Shaheed, and how the Prophet, and here the A'imma we are using, they are witness. Now, the other meaning which might come to mind is that they are witnesses in the sense that they observe what we do, and on the day of judgment, they would provide that witness, they would bear witness, they would give their word as a witness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is, of course, the common meaning of witness, someone who observes something, someone who sees something, and then would bear witness. Now here, when we say witness, it means that, say for example, someone commits a crime, someone for example robs a car or kills someone, and someone else has observed that, has seen it, then they would summon that person to the court, and they want him to bear witness, to say what they have seen. And it is actually what they have seen, not what they have reported to, for example, someone has told them. The witness should see whatever they bear witness for. So, if we take this concept of witnessing, then the meaning of witness here is that the Prophet and the A'imma see what we do, and they bear witness on the day of judgment. that this is what these people have done. Now, how they do it? Of course, this is what makes the whole issue difficult. They might see the people around them what they do. They might see people inside their family what they do. Even if we say, for example, the Prophet had a very broad type of people who brought news of what people did during his time for him, and therefore he could witness what people did, it is only during his lifetime. So Prophet could not have witnessed all actions of his nation so that he bear witness to what the nation has done. And if we want to really explore this meaning further, we have to somehow admit a type of ability. If we say this witnessing is to bear witness on the Day of Judgment for the actions of people, it needs a type of ability that the Prophet and the A'imma, they could really know and see what everyone does. And then they could, of course, bear witness. Now, we have in the Quran that on the Day of Judgment, our hands, for example, witness against us. Or our skins witness, bear witness against us. Now, this means two things. First of all, that they can speak on the Day of Judgment, as it is mentioned in the Quran. They speak, not that they show whatever we have done. They just speak out what we have done. The second thing is that they have to be some sort of intelligent, rational being, so that they now know and see what we are doing. And on the Day of Judgment, they want to bear witness. Okay, this is possible. How the Imam wants to bear witness, for example, for us or against us on the Day of Judgment, it means that they should have a type of knowledge which exceeds the knowledge of ordinary people. They should penetrate the actions, that knowledge should penetrate the actions of every individual. And then in this way, of course, they could bear witness on the Day of Judgment. Now, this is, of course, a very difficult concept to accept, that the Imam has this type of knowledge, and they could see whatever the people do. In fact, it means that their soul can actually unify with the soul of all individuals and know what is inside every soul, what are the intentions, and what are the actions. Bearing witness is not just to the apparent action of the people. It is more than that. They should penetrate the heart of the people as well and know the intentions. This is, of course, on the Day of Judgment when they want to witness, and Allah asks, okay, you say that this person has done such a thing, with what intention? And they say, we don't know. Well, they cannot say this. What type of witness is this? So they should know the action, they should penetrate the heart, they should know the intentions behind those actions, and this means a great knowledge. Now, is this possible? And is this going to happen at all? Are A'imma alayhi salam and the Prophet are going to witness for us or against us? Do they all the time see whatever the people do actually? And which one of them? Is the Prophet bearing witness for us, or the A'imma bearing witness for us or against us? Is, for example, Prophet Isa bearing witness for his own nation, or our Prophet bears witness for Isa's nation as well? I think, although the concept is quite difficult to understand, since it is mentioned in abundance in the Quran and in the Rawayat, we cannot just ignore all of them. And we should not be like some very simplistic, superficial Muslims which only say it's the power of God and there's not no other thing, and they do not know what is the power of God itself. There are many, many things that which go in this world that we have to, of course, find out from the Quran. We shouldn't look at the Quran in a very simplistic way and think that all people are equal in their knowledge, in their power, in their capacity. And if we say that some people have more capacity than others, then we are mushrik. This is what usually some people say, some of the Muslimun. They say, if you say some people have some extraordinary knowledge or power above others, you are mushrik. And this is something which is complete denial of whatever has come in the Qur'an, has been mentioned in the Qur'an, about the powers that Allah gave. Say, for example, to Sulaiman, وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ عَاصِفَةً غُدُوُّهَا شَهْرٌ وَرَوَاهُهَا شَهْرٌ. We put the wind under his control. Now, if you say to some Muslims that Allah might put the wind under the control of one person, they say you are mushrik. This is shirk. How can Allah control the wind and a person can control the wind as well? Well, this is what is mentioned in the Qur'an. He says it says in the Qur'an that we put all the jinn under the control of Sulaiman, and he was the one who actually ordered them what to do and what not to do. Now, if you say now that some people might have the authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rule one, say for example, small cat, they say you are mushrik, because this is only in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just talking out of ignorance. Now, what the Quran says about shuhada? We have one big shaheed, which is the Prophet. In Surah Nisa, we are told that وَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ. How you think when we bring forth from every nation one shaheed, one witness? وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَٰؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. And we bring you forth to witness over these witnesses. In fact, there are witnesses at different times that witness to the actions of the people, or whatever we take the meaning of witness. They are going to say something before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about people. So they have some sort of superiority over people. And then the Prophet is going to bear witness over these witnesses. In fact, they work under him, so to speak. And this is a great grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the Prophet. I mentioned this before. Once the Prophet asked one of the companions to recite Surah An-Nisa, and he recited, and until he came to this verse, Prophet's tears started to flow down and he said, stop. This was something that Prophet could not imagine, that this type of grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had been given to him. Now, then we have something similar to this in Surah Al-Imran. It, according to us Shias, of course, it addresses the A'imma. There are many, many verses in the Quran which is not addressed to everyone. It is addressed only to A'imma alayhimus salam. However, since of course the address is to real mu'minun, we think it is to all of us. Now, one of those instances is this verse in Surah Al-Imran. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. In this way we have made you a middle ummah. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. You witness the action of the people. وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِدًا. And the Prophet witnessed over your actions. So the Prophet would have the final say over you, and you have the final say over the people. So, also we have other shuhada who work under the A'imma. They bear witness for smaller groups of people. In Surah Al-Imran, again, when the Battle of Uhud is mentioned, it says that you, of course, lost. It was a battle that Muslimun lost the battle. Then lots of hesitation came to their mind that if we were on the path of right and truth, why we lost the battle and all these things. Then Allah says that all these وَتَلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلْهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. This power we change hand, we make it to change hand among people. Sometimes you are victorious, sometimes you lose. So that Allah knows who really follows him and who follows him for other things. وَلَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَىٰ. And Allah wants to choose shuhada from among you. It, by all these things, purifies you, and then you become witnesses. Of course, these witnesses would act under the A'imah. Now, on the day of judgment, of course, there are witnesses. وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ. The prophets will be brought forth. وَالشُّهَدَىٰ. And the witnesses will come forth. Now, the shuhada would bear witness over the people. And they should have seen what people actually done with what intention. And as I said, this needs great power. And every shaheed at their level, they bear witness. And that witness will be approved by the shaheed which is over them until it goes to the Prophet, peace be on him. And that should endorse, he should endorse whatever all the human race have done from the beginning of the history, because there are shaheed for every nation, and then the Prophet is the final shaheed, final endorser of what human people have, human individuals have done. And it means that Allah would guide people by people, would judge among people by people, would bring forth witnesses to bear witness for the people by people. Everything which is related to human being is settled by human being. And the reason behind it is that no one would say that you are God, we are people, you don't know how we feel, you don't know why we did these things. Sometimes you hear from some people, some ignorant people, they say, well, God is sitting above everything, he doesn't have passion, he doesn't have love, everything, anything, and he has put us in all these difficulties, and he says, do this, do that. No, you cannot say this on the day of judgment. Everything is settled by your own kind. It's your own kind who bears witness what you have done. And they themselves actually had actions, and they themselves lived this life. And it's those people who eventually would judge who should go to hell, who should go to paradise. And we will come to this later on, inshallah. So, if we take this theory, then we can very easily explain all these verses in the Quran. If we say this is not right, then we are in difficulty for the meaning of shaheed in the Quran. Now, let's look at the last two ayahs of Surah Hajj. Again, it is يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, but it's not for us. It is directed to a special number of يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And this is common in the Qur'an. For example, in the Qur'an, we have some orders which are only addressed to the mu'minun of the time of the Prophet. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْغَ سَوْتَ النَّبِيِّ. Oh, you mu'minun, do not raise your voices over the voice of the Prophet. Certainly it's not addressed to us, it's addressed only to the mu'minun of the time of the Prophet. And there are some verses which says يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and it's addressed only to a few people. Now, at the end of Surah Hajj, it says يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَأَبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَافْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ لَأَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. All you who believe, prostrate, bow down, worship your Lord, and do good, maybe, or with the hope that you are among the marhumeen, you are entered into the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it says, هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ, from the middle of the second verse, the last verse of the Hajj, هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He has chosen you. Of course, not. We are not chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know this. Ijtaba is something which comes only for Siddiqeen. هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ. He chose you. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. And has not put any hardship in religion for you. Again, this is the position of the Prophet. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. This is the position of Prophet. It means that whatever concept about God, about spirituality comes in religion, they take it, they absorb it very easily. There's no hardship, no tightness in their heart. It's completely open. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. This is the religion of your father, Ibrahim. Well, certainly, of course, Ibrahim is not father of all. هو سماكم المسلمين من قبل وفي هذا. He called you Muslims in the past and in this Quran. We have called you Muslims as well. Now, Ibrahim wanted a group of his descendants to be true submitters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it? In Surah Baqarah, we have رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنَ لَكَ. Make me and Ismail to be two Muslims for you. وَمَنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا. And from our descendants. أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً. A group of people who are Muslim. So it says, he actually called you Muslims. And in this book we have called you Muslims. We have approved what Ibrahim said about you. هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِي هَذَا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Because we want you to become witnesses over the people. وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And the Prophet is shaheed over you. And then it says, فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. Allah is your Mawla, your right. So, if we want to explain this verse, the only way that we can explain it is by this concept of shahid. And if we go to our riwayat in Kafi and in other books, we see that A'imma alayhi wasalam have explained the meaning of shahid in this way, that we witness the action of the people. Now, that witness is not, it doesn't mean that they have to be where we are. It is a type of knowledge, which is a supernatural knowledge. A type of knowledge which comes to them in a way which is quite strange for us. We cannot understand it, how that knowledge comes, and how they absorb it, how they can have all these types of knowledge. We know that, for example, Amirul Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, when he looked into the face of someone, he could say whether he's from his Shia or he's not, or what was their actions. So, it is possible. We have in the Quran that Isa, alayhi salam, said, I can see what you do when I am not with you. وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ. I can say what you eat in your houses and what you store. Now, this type of knowledge which Isa alayhi salam speaks about is a type of witnessing these actions. Now, Isa said to all Banu Israel that whoever comes to me, I can tell them what they eat. Well, this is the most possible type of knowledge, isn't it? Eating, because we eat every day. And really no one knows. You don't know what I have eaten this for my lunch. And I don't know what you have eaten for your lunch. This is something which is the simplest way of witnessing other people's actions. And Isa alayhi salam says, I have this knowledge. وَنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ. I can inform you what you eat, what you don't eat, and you store. Even the things which you store for future to eat, I can tell you. So this is a type of witnessing of actions of other people. And this is what we have actually in our riwayat, that A'imma are actually having this knowledge so that they could bear witness on the Day of Judgment, so that all human affairs is settled by human beings. And it's not angels who are witnessing. It's not angels who are telling. When Allah says, وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ, these shuhada are not from among the angels. They are among the people coming forth and talking about people. So, in fact, all doors of pretext and excuse are closed by such witnesses. And of course, these witnesses have other qualities which will come through it. Even when we come to this very, very important sentence, وَفَصْلُ الْخَطَابِ عَنْدَكُمْ, and the final word is with you. Of course, about every person, you say the final word. And after you have said it, Allah will judge. And Allah will say what should be done to those people. So, وَالشُّهَدَاءَ عَلَىٰ حَلْقِهِ وَأَعْلَامًا لِعِبَادِهِ, and signposts for his servants, which we discussed. وَمَنَارًا فِي بِلَادِهِ. Manar was a very big, tall tower on which they put light, so that the people could find their way during the night. So you are also those signposts of light by which during the night people find their ways. وَمَنَارًا فِي بِلَادِهِ وَأَدِلَّا عَلَىٰ صِرَاطِهِ, and you are guides to it's his path. Well, very clear. أَسَمَكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الزَّلَالِ, Allah has protected you to slip, to make mistakes, clear. وَآمَنَكُمْ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ, and he has saved you from fitan. Fitan is the plural of fitna, and fitna is actually a situation in which people cannot find out what is right and what is wrong. And this is the fitna of shaitan usually coming. So you are saved from those fitan, from the fitna of shaitan, not knowing in any situation what to do, what is right and what is wrong. وَتَحَرَكُمْ مِنَ الدَّنَسِ, and has purified you from danas, which is filth and dirt. وَأَذْهَبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْ, and has taken away any type of filth from you, which we have in the Quran. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهَبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَتَحْحَرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Allah wishes to take all rijs from you, Ahlul Bayt, and purify you, which of course it's the verse of the Quran mentioned here. وَأَذْهَبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ وَتَحْحَرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Okay, now look, after all these things, how we actually describe them. After all these things have done to them, they are shuhada over these people. Now imagine if one of us had just one in million of the power and knowledge that the imams had over the people. Certainly we have exploited everyone, and we wanted to make everyone subservient to ourselves, isn't it? And saying that, no, I have a position that you do not have. That is why these type of positions and this type of knowledge doesn't come with arrogance and doesn't go with arrogance, actually. It is only after a person has completely subdued themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these things come. This knowledge, this power, is only under such conditions. And therefore, after, of course, doing all these, giving all these favors to you, فَأَذَّمْتُمْ جَلَالَهُ, you actually glorified, magnified the Jalal, the splendidness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we say Allah has a Jalal and a Jamal. Jamal is the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those attributes that He possesses. And Jalal are whatever we have to purify Allah from them. So, of course, Allah has no need. Allah would not wrong anyone. And those aspects of Allah that we do not understand are the Jalali aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beauty of Allah we see. But there are some aspects of Allah which we never can understand. And that is the Jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the magnificence, because the magnificence is something which you cannot capture. The magnificence of Allah is His Jalal. The beauty of Allah is His Jamal. So you, Azzamtum, made His Jalal in your hearts so huge. Wa akbartum sha'ana, again, you magnified His position, His stance. Whenever you speak about, now you go over some khutbahs of Nahjul Balagha and see how Amirul Mu'mineen speaks about God. you would see that this heart is, when he is speaking about God, the heart is trembling. His heart is trembling, actually. Because he sees that magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his position, knows his position, his stance. وَأَكْبَرْتُمْ شَأْنَهُ وَمَجَّدْتُمْ كَرَمَهُ And you glorified his grace. Karam is grace. Glorified his grace that he had actually bestowed upon you. وَأَدَمْتُمْ ذِكْرَهُ And continuously you remembered him. You continued with his remembrance. Adamtum dhikrah. Wa wakadtum mithaqah. And you confirmed the mithaq, the covenant that you had with him and he had with you. So this covenant is usually is broken by people. A covenant which is in the fitrah of human beings to search for Allah, to go to Allah, to subdue themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This misaq is usually broken by people. And when this is broken, of course, then the grace of Allah stops coming. Because it means that you are not capable to receive it. You do not deserve it. Because if you receive it, you are going to do mischief with it. And of course, many references to this is made in the Quran. Especially about Banu Israel, that Allah poured His grace upon them without any counts. How many prophets, how many miracles, and all these things. And then it says, فَبِمَا نَقْبِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ That covenant, not only in their fitrah, Musa, other prophets, they came, they reminded them of the covenant, they took the covenant again from them. And they broke it. فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ After all those graces, because they broke the covenant, we cursed them. And this curse comes in the shape of the heart being closed. It doesn't come as, for example, poverty or not having material, physical benefits of this world. No, it comes in the shape of heart being closed to whatever Allah says. You might be religious, but you are not spiritual. There is difference between religiosity and spirituality, being spiritual. Many people are religious, but they are not spiritual because their hearts are dead. The heart. Now, these Jews, you see, still in even in Israel, you see these hardliners or very orthodox Jews. They are really, really religious people. They really mind about the cause of their religion. And among us Muslims, of course, and among Christians, many evangelists, you see, they are very, very strict about what they preach and what they say. However, our hearts doesn't feel it. It's just outward action. It means that there is something, the covenant is broken. We are not actually sticking to the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the curse, well, of course, very diluted degrees of it, is coming upon us. And therefore, أَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَأَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً We made their hearts to go hard. Their hearts are now hard. They do not have a spirituality. They have religion, they do not have a spirituality. And this is one of those things that we have to be aware of very much. We Muslims should be aware of. We should have both religion and spirituality. Spirituality without religion is misguidance, is leading us astray. Religion without a spirituality is just rigidity over something that we do not understand. We should have both religion and spirituality. So, of course, أَعِمَّ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ وَوَكَّدْتُمْ مِيثَاقَهُ You confirm the covenant. You stick firmly to the covenant. وَأَحْكَمْتُمْ عَقْدَ طَاعَتِهِ And to that Aqd is something that you actually tie or you bring over yourself as a response to some other thing which some other person does. So there is an aqd ta'a between the person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you obey him and he would guide you. Abdi ati'ni aj'aluka mathali. Oh, my servant, obey me, I will make you like myself. This is of course in the hadith. So this aqd of ta'ah, this contract of ta'ah, so to speak, you have strengthened it, you have fortified this aqd of ta'ah. وَنَسَحْتُمْ لَهُ فِي السَّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ, and in outward and inward, in your outward and inward, you have wanted only good in your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you have wanted good for His religion, you have done good for His religion, whether inwardly or outwardly. نَسَحْتُمْ لَهُ فِي السَّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ وَدَعَوْتُمْ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِهِ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْئِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. This is what is mentioned in the Quran. أُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْئِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَةِ. The Prophet is told, you have to call to your Lord with wisdom and with nice preaching. You have to win hearts. Well, religion deals with hearts. And if you want someone to come to your religion, you have to win their hearts. And we say that you did the same thing. You called the people to his path with hikmah and with maw'idatul hasanah. وَبَذَلْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ فِي مَرْضَاتِهِ. And of course, you gave away your own lives, whatever you had, for his pleasure. وَصَبَرْتُمْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكُمْ فِي جَنْبِهِ. And you had patience over whatever inflicted you, whatever came upon you for him, for his qurbah, fi jambah or fi hubbah, as we have in some other, because of his love, you accepted whatever came upon you. Wa aqamtumu salat, and you established prayers. Wa ataytumu zakat, and you paid zakat. Wa amartum bil ma'roof, enjoined good. وَنَهَيْتُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, forbid the evil. وَجَاهَدْتُمْ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جَهَادِهِ, and did strive for the sake of Allah the way He deserves. Now this one, inshallah, we have to explain a bit further next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى
مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. Sheikh, what is the Arabic word for spirituality, and is there any explanation given by the Imam of the Prophet what it means?
Spirituality, I think spirituality, we can put it as ikhlas in Arabic, because we don't have a complete similar translation. Because we can't say ruhaniyah, but it's not used in our riwayat and in the Quran. Because spirituality comes from spirit, which is ruh. And usually nowadays in modern Arabic, they translate spirituality to ruhaniyah. But it is not traditionally used. I think that spirituality, which is meant, is the exact word we can use for it is taqwa, which is always mentioned in the Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. Now, if you are mu'min, then why taqullah? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. It means now you have religion, now you should have a spirituality. You should have taqwa. So I think the best word which we can pick for translation of spirituality is taqwa in the Quranic sense.
You're talking about the witnessing shaheed. Now, on the day of Qiyamah, the first thing is Allah already knows what we're going to do. And secondly, our actions will be tangible in front of us. Everyone will be able to see them. What will a witness add to that?
Yeah, this is a very good question. Still, you have your actions actually materialized, and they are with you. However, you deny that you deserve them. You deny that you deserve this type of action. And especially when you want to be sent to a place which is suitable to that action, the people would deny that they deserve such a thing. And they say no. Especially they deny some actions, which is of course in their faith, but they still deny it. That's why after those witnesses, I think what happens, they are completely made passive and they cannot say anything else. And there are different stages of witnessing, as is mentioned in the Quran. The angels would witness, the especially at the very, very last stage when people really don't want to go to hell, their organs would start to speak up against them. So we don't know how it works, but we are told that unless these witnesses would witness and everyone is completely convinced that they deserve what they are going to receive, Allah would not finish judgments for the people, for every individual. After a person is completely convinced that what he receives he really deserves, then of course Allah would give them that punishment or that reward, and that comes through these witnesses. This convincing process comes through those witnesses. Yeah.
The martyrs on the battlefield, why are they called shaheed?
This is of course a later coinage, because at the time of the revelation of the Quran we didn't have this terminology, shaheed. Maybe because of the verses that we have, that وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءً, that do not regard those who are killed in the battlefield to be dead, they are alive. And someone who is alive is actually witnessing what is going on. So that's why they might have called it shaheed. I don't know really what origin and from what time this term is used. And how they have actually drew the similarity between the two. But as I said, this is a later coinage.
Don't we have the, for example, ziyarahs from the imams, then they use the word shaheed here?
Yeah, but this is a later time, isn't it?
They must have approved that word.
This is later time than Quran.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's also an earlier time, because in Greek, for example, it's the same thing, isn't it? You have witness.
Yeah, martyr means witness, yeah.
So it's the same terminology, and so in the time of the revelation, people would have made that link, wouldn't they?
Maybe, but why it's not used in the Quran, maybe it's purposefully not used. Yeah, martyr means shaheed as well, and it was used in previous times. I really don't know. It needs an investigation to see how this term shaheed was actually brought in for martyrs.
Talk today about witnessing over people and witnessing over nations. But is there any level of communal accountability for a community? And how does that square with having a mitzvah or a covenant which is with an individual? The relative importance of the communal responsibility and individual responsibility?
Maybe, of course, there is a communal responsibility, and the reason for it is, for example, when a community goes astray and commits sin, even the people who are not sinful in that community are going to suffer from the consequences of that. So there is a limit of communal responsibility in this world, at least. Now in the other world, maybe the reason is that people of every nation and every time have different attitudes and different situations, and they might not be judged equally, because a person who lives at this age or in this country can have different excuses from someone who lives at a different stage or at a different time. So every nation needs its own witness, or every stage of time needs its own witness. Of course, we know that there is only one witness at the moment. The supreme witness is what Imam al-Asr, Ajallallahu Ta'ala Farajhu al-Sharif. And that's the supreme witness which is mentioned in the Quran, that you are the witness over people, the Prophet is witness over you. However, well, it's for 1200 years that he's witnessing. So we have to actually try to find out what's the meaning of Ummah here, or nation. It's not, of course, a society or a community as limited as, for example, people living in a country. It has, I think, a vaster meaning. We have to find it out. It's one of those difficult issues that we have to tackle, inshallah, in future. I haven't been able to organize it myself, what the meaning of Ummah is, because in different places that it is used, it gives different impressions of the meaning of Ummah. Inshallah, one day we have to organize this as well. So the meaning is, I don't know. The answer is, I don't know.
What is an arif, and is it in any way similar to
shaheed? Well, it depends, of course. An arif might reach very high stages, which would be given some sort of shahada over others. As I said, in the Quran we have that Allah says, وَلِيَتَّخَذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. Allah wants to adopt witnesses from among you. So he certainly adopts some witnesses from among ordinary people. When I say ordinary people, of course they are Mugharrabun anyhow, but they are not Imams and Prophets. But what people, or which group of people would qualify, would it be Urafa or Fuqaha or what, I don't know. It depends how they are linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts.
And this word Arif and Urafa, is it used in the Quran, or is it a modern coinage or later coinage?
No, it's later coinage. In Quran, ulama is used exactly in the same meaning as we use urafa. Now, we use ulama in a different sense, not in the sense that Quran uses it. We use ulama for jurists or for clergy, so to speak. However, the Quran doesn't use it in that way. In fact, Quran uses ulama as the meaning of urafa. It's those who have deep understanding of religious concepts. So when we recite the Quran, we have to be careful about these differences of terminology that we have and the Quran.
Sir, may I ask another one? You said that Imam Ali alayhi wasalam are middle Ummah. What is the significance of this middle? Why is this word used?
Because the Prophet has now passed away. He is no more witness. It is the present Imam which is witness. And in that way, however, this is the Ummah of the Prophets, okay? And in that way, whatever they witness would go to the Prophet through them. So they are a middle Ummah between the Ummah and the Prophet.
So middle does not mean moderate?
I don't think so, no. No. This is what is usually given to the meaning of the... Well, of course, if you really, really think about what meanings are given to this verse, you find all of them meaningless. Except if we bring this concept of the middle Ummah, the middle people which take witness to the Prophet and Prophet to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bring this.
Looking at the meaning, so deep, what benefit do we get if we are to decide when we are not purify ourselves? Do we just have to recite for the sake of recital, or once we have to purify?
You see, even these meanings are not very deep meanings of the ziyarah. It has much deeper meanings that we do not understand. However, when we recite it, we benefit from it. I mean, the first step is to learn to recite, and then to learn what it means, and then to learn the deeper meanings. And it's like all other ibadat. I mean, for example, the prayer. At the beginning, when we ask a girl of 9 years old, or a boy of 15 years old to pray, they do not understand anything from it. But the starting point is recitation of prayer. And that's why we are told that at this age, everyone should pray, for example. However, gradually, as we move forward, if, of course, we are really sincere and we ponder on what we do, then gradually we grasp the deeper meanings of it. So everything starts from superficiality and goes into depth. And I think we cannot start at the very depth. Even when we want to dive into the water, we have to go from the surface to the bottom. We cannot find ourselves suddenly at the bottom. And I think all these sawab which is mentioned is for these superficial meanings that we understand from it. If we go very deep, then those sawab of course are different. The sawab that are mentioned are different. And maybe sometimes you hear in some riwayat that whoever does, for example, these, he would get the sawab of 7 Hajj and Umrah. And in some other riwayat you have, whoever does this would get the sawab of 700 Hajj and Umrah. And it alludes to the depth of the action. For some people it has the sawab of 700 Hajj and Umrah. For some people it has the sawab of 70. For some people it has the sawab of 1 Hajj and Umrah. And for some people it has punishment. Because they go and they want to do ziyarah of the Imam and, well, they do lots of mistakes and sinful things to reach out to the Zarif, for example. Of course, they don't get any sawab of the ziyarah. Or they get, I don't know, Allah is Kareem. It's not like us.